Bringing hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless, and love to the broken, everyone is welcome at the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Just come as you are. For the next 30 minutes, get ready to be ministered to and touched by an anointed man of God, Brother Charles Pierce.
Now, I'm just going to make my liberty here today, if that's okay. There's a lot of brokenness in this building today. There's a lot of people in there. It don't take a prophetic or ministry, Sister Hollis, to find out people have come here that needs answers from God. And there are some that have walked in this place that's instantly, and it's nothing bad, it's nothing negative, don't take it this way, but instantly our spirits go to, uh-oh, pastor's not here. I'm not going to get my answer today. The fact is this, all it takes is a unified body to come together under the presence of God Almighty Himself. And nobody has to lay a hand on you. Nobody has to come and whisper something in your ear. All it has to do is you to surrender your soul, your mind, and your body unto His Spirit. And it's at that time when you surrender, things begin to happen and chains begin to break. We're going to clap our hands one more time, and this time I want you to understand this. When you clap your hands, you're not doing it, Noah, because I've asked you to. You're doing it because there's some answers that you need, and you refuse to let Satan bind you. You're going to use the gift that God's given you and clap your hands unto the Lord right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Pastor got sick. Brian got sick. Little Colson got sick. Our whole family has been, feel like sister, too, we've been ran through the mud since the first of the year. I mean, January the 1st, Hawk, Our household got hit with this demonic, devilish stomach bug. Now, the upside to a stomach bug is you lose weight. I would not suggest that to be the way we lose weight. I don't want to lose it that way. I'll tell you right now. It's not fun. But we do need to pray for Pastor and Sister Pierce and Brian and Carla. They're in Nashville with Nathaniel and Nathaniel's future in-laws. It's crazy, isn't it? We're getting old, people. But you know, I'm getting balder. I had one little old lady in North California, and I'm just going to say this, and please don't judge me, because I'm fixing to use a word that we're not accustomed to using in the house of the Lord. I was sitting there, and Grayson Pierce, wherever he is at, that mule decided to put something on my hair because I didn't have none. So he got this stuff, brother, and he sprayed it on me. He goes, just try it. So we pre-sprayed it in my hair, and it looked good, as long as I wasn't sweating. But all of a sudden, I began to sweat, and while we was up on that stage, brother, this dark stuff began to fall down my, like paint. And it was just going everywhere. And I wiped my head off during songs, and I came back out and playing, and they kind of made, you know, a comment about it, you know, Sean ain't got no hair or something. I forgot what the comment was. And, of course, we kind of laughed about it and went on because Brother Pierce was fixing to take the floor. And when Brother Pierce takes the floor, it has to be right for the Spirit of God to move, for the prophetical realm to move. So we had our little laughter. And after church, this sweet little old lady came up to me. And I guess she felt like I needed the encouragement. Because she came up to me. She said, come here, honey. And she grabbed my hand. She said, I just want to tell you, I think bald is sexy. Well, that made my year right there. I ain't never been the same. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am going to preach today on a message that I preached probably about 15 years ago. And when they called me last night and said Brother Pierce was sick, they did not ask me to preach. They just said, have a song service and let God move the way y'all feel. But instantly, Brother Raymond, instantly, a message that I have not pulled out in about 16 years came to me. And don't get me wrong, from the till now, brother, till the day I die, when I get up on this platform, there will be an edge and a nervousness that comes over me. Because it ain't something that I just want to fly off the mouth and just start saying something, Brother Trey. Because we're working in two different realms. We're working in the flesh, the natural realm, and we're working in the spiritual realm. And whether you look at me as a preacher or not, that's really not here nor there. I am up here representing God and the ministry and the anointing of God, right? So you're listening, and you're probably saying, what is he going to say, and do I agree with it? So what I say has to line with the Word of God. If it does not line with the Word of God, it does not need to be said behind this pulpit. But if it lines up with the Word of God and it hurts your feelings, good. That's what we want. We want to hurt feelings as long as it's done in the Word of God. I don't want to hurt your feelings because my flesh hurts your feelings. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So I got up here and the Lord gave me this message, and Trey gets up here and begins to preach my message. And I'm like, that's okay. That means that we're plugging in the right road, which is where we need to be. But we've come here today, every one of us, faced with challenges, faced with demons, faced with past experiences, faced with hurts that we can't seem to get rid of, faced with health issues that we can't seem to get over. We're faced with just seems like one mountain after another. Some of us may have had past experiences in our life as a child that we cannot seem to get over. Maybe it's your spouse and you can't seem to get along. Maybe it's a job that you can't seem to just thrive in. Maybe it's a child that you're raising. God help me, with a six-year-old that I love truly. And as I was, camera's on, right? Good. As I was spanking my son this morning, he said, Dad's teaching me bad things, Mama. She said, what's Daddy teaching you? How to be mad. I said, no, I'm not teaching you how to be mad. That's what we're getting a spanking for. But we're all faced with something. And we can't seem to get past our first step that we took 20 years ago. How many of you been there? Come on, raise your hands. It's okay. I like feedback. All right? You're not going to be sent to the back or out in the foyer if you raise your hands, if you say amen, hallelujah, praise God. We like it here at this church, okay? But some of us also is walking in victory. But there are some things that we need to be careful for, even though we're walking in victory. We're just going to take up where we left off last week. Last week we talked about being lukewarm. And there's a danger in being lukewarm and living a very melancholy and a very mediocre life. And if you're not careful, that mediocre life that we live when we come and just sit on a pew and that's all we want, if you're not careful, if we don't guard what I'm about to preach on, if we do not guard these five things in our life, if you live a mediocre life, trust me, you'll be headed towards the pits of hell if you're not careful. So we're going to pick up where we left off last week. So go ahead and go to Joshua. Let me see. It's going to be Joshua 10. Don't worry about putting it up right now. Just wait. You're going to do 10, 22 through 26, okay? But in the beginning of this chapter, Joshua, God had given the people of Israel victory over their enemies, Sister 2. He has given them victory, Brother 2. Gave them victory. Gave them victory. Gave them victory. Grayson, they were living in victory. They had been set free. God had given them victory. He caused the sun to stand still. Come on. How many of you would say all of a sudden there is a God if you saw the sun stand still all of a sudden? If Trey, you walked outside and you said, Lord, right now, stop this rain, roll back the clouds, and let the sun shine and stand still, and all of a sudden it just stopped raining, the clouds rolled back. Huh? How many of you would say, oh my God, there is a God, and he is on my side? Something would change in us, right? Because we saw something. Israel had seen one miracle after another. They had seen God perform one thing after another. Now here it was, brother, God set them free. They had seen the sun stand still, brother Hollis. Rain down hail on the enemies of Joshua and Israel. There was a great slaughter against the Amorites and the allies. But after the battle, after there was victory, Joshua called the people together and told them the victory was not yet complete. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sitting here thinking, well, wait just a minute. God, we just got set free from all of our bondage. We just got set free from things that were going on in our life. We've seen things, Lawana, after another, one victory after another, one prophecy happened, one after another. We're living on top of the world. But Joshua knew something. Hey, whoa. You're living in victory, but what's going to happen if you don't kill these five kings, if you don't kill these five faith killers in your life, it's going to destroy you. And there were five kings. Now let's put up chapter 20, verse 22. I have no idea which standard you're in, but that's okay. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings. There were five kings that had hidden themselves in the cave. They had been defeated, Grayson, and those five kings ran into the cave. And he said, bring the kings to me from the cave. Go to the next verse. And they did so and brought out those five kings to him from the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. Go on. So it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. Go ahead. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. Number 25, go ahead and go to it. Joshua said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. This is what the Lord will do to all the enemies you are going to fight. Then Joshua put the kings to death and exposed their bodies on five poles. And they were left hanging on the poles until evening. Now, you're probably wondering, what are these five kings? Maybe like the children of Israel, you have had a great victory in your life. Or maybe in the middle of your fight for your life, for your health, for your family, or for your future, all of a sudden there's been questions raised. Whatever your situation, these five kings who you must defeat represent the five physical senses. Five physical senses. The Bible says we walk by faith. These are five enemies of faith. And if you let these five senses lead you and guard you and guide you, it's going to destroy you. Because we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by what we hear or what we see. We don't walk by something somebody else said. We don't walk by what we smell or taste. We walk by what? Faith. Not by emotions, not by feelings, not by sight, nor by what we hear, nor by what we taste or touch. We walk by faith. So the first king, the first killer that we must defeat is what you smell. Daniel 3:27 said, we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace for not bowing down to a golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says that the hair on their head was not singed. Their garments were not affected. And the smell of the fire was not on them. Yet what was so amazing about this story is before they even got to the furnace, the soldiers that were escorting them were burned up. But yet not even a thread tray on their clothes were singed. And they came out of the fire okay because there was a fourth man in the fire. We know the story. But they didn't smell like what they had been through. Some people who go through battles carry the smell of defeat for a long time. They can come to the altar and they can worship the Lord and they can look holy and they can have their dress up to their neck and their shoulders and sleeves down to their wrist, and we can all look as holy as what we think holy is should be looking like. But what is so serious, you can look at them and know they're carrying around defeat because they have not defeated this one sense in their life. They haven't brought their senses under subjection to the cross. You have got to get victory. Replace your past with the aroma of praise to God. That is Genesis 8, 20 and 21. The second king is what you feel. The story of Jacob and Esau. When it came time for the blessing, Jacob wrapped goat's hair around his arms to convince his blind father, Isaac, that he was Esau. That's kind of mean because he knew his daddy couldn't see. And Jacob went to his father's bedside, and Isaac said he could hear. So one sense, he understood. Isaac said, whoa, 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 this is the voice of Jacob's voice. This is Jacob's voice I'm hearing, but I'm confused. He understood that I'm hearing Jacob's voice. So that sense is right. But for some reason, the sense that was weak, he said, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Isaac trusted in what he felt and made the mistake of giving the blessing to Jacob instead of Esau. He was deceived by what he felt. He was deceived by what he felt. I don't know how many times I have walked into a church, and I've used this analogy before, because of something that I felt. We are a creature of habit, and in a church we are moved by what's the word I used this morning? We are behavioral modified. If we shout, then we're having church. If you're sitting there like a bump in a log, then we're dead and we're not doing anything, and that's not necessarily true. We are emotionally driven. So I feel sometimes like I'm being defeated, and if I give into that emotion when it's not, what are we? Moved by faith. We are faith. We are by faith. We moved by faith. We trust God. But if we allow this feeling that we have to move us, trust me, it is being moved by a lie. Our senses are not here to bless our spirit. Our senses are here to feed our flesh. So he was deceived by what he felt. You can't trust your feelings. Feelings will run you crazy. It'll run you wild. My God, you can walk in victory, walk out of here, and tomorrow come in contact with one of your coworkers that you want to... Hallelujah. If you get hurt, put your foot on the neck of feelings. That's what Joshua did. That's why he says, stop. You may be living in victory right now, but if you don't get a hold of your senses, it's going to defeat us. We've got to get a hold of the faith killer called feelings. Maybe you don't feel the presence of God anymore. Or you don't feel sweet victory. Faith is more powerful than your feelings. Keep your faith in God. Say, I'm going to keep my faith in God. Come on. Say, I'm going to keep my faith in God. Not in my feelings. King number three. Here we go. King number three. Now, what in the world does taste have to do anything? Be careful what you taste. 2 Kings 4, 38 through 41. Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in that region. While the company of the prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servant, put on the large pot and cook some stew for these prophets. So one of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine and picked as many of its gourds as his garment could hold. And when he returned, he cut them up into a pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. The stew was poured out for the men, but as they began to eat it, they cried out, "Man of God, there is death in this pot. It ain't tasting good. Something's wrong. My taste buds say something is rotten in the pot." And they could not eat it. And Elisha said, "Get some flour." He put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people to eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. See, instead of throwing the pot of stew away because it had some bitterness to it, all that Elisha did was put flour into it. The flour represents the Word of God. The flour represents the Spirit of God. When things taste bitter, you can either keep reacting on something that you've been through that's called a bitter taste in your life, and instead of letting it go, you hold on to it. And if you continue to hold on to those hurtful things and those bitter things in your life, what's going to happen to you? It's going to cause one chain reaction after another. You can come up here and pray all you want to. You can seek the face of God all you want to. But until you surrender that sense of taste, say, "God, that bitterness that's been in my life, I want to get it out." And if you replace that bitterness with the presence of God in your life, feed the Word of God. When you start to feel those angry spirits, when you start to feel those sensitive bitterness spirits in your life, begin to read the Word of God. Eat on it. Feast upon it. Amen? The Word of God took the poison out of the stew. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." There's our spirit. So the Word of God touches our spirit, right? Here's something that is amazing about the Word of God, though. This is biblical. You can look it up for yourself. But the Bible says it even pierces the joints and the marrow. So it not only affects our spirit, but what is so awesome about the Word of God is it affects our flesh. The Bible says that the Word of God is medicine, is healing to all of our flesh. So not only is the Word of God there, Trey, to feed us spiritually and renew our minds and renew our things that we have been through, but it's there to restore our physical. Because, listen, if we continue to live in a negative environment, believe you me, it's going to have an effect on you physically. It not only will bring you down spiritually, but it will affect you physically. And so the Word of God is there like that flower. It's going to take the bitterness out of the pot. It's going to restore some things that's been lost to you. Does your situation taste bitter or poison? Let's mix the Word of God in it. Amen? Keep it before you. Meditate on it day and night. King number four. I like this one. King number four is what you hear. Yeah, what you hear. Everybody say amen. Is this okay? When you get in a faith fight, you will hear a lot of discouraging news. I have not said a lot about my dad. My dad's been going through a fight with his health since, I think it was February or January of last year, when he found out that he had cancer. And that stupid, ugly, nasty word that I absolutely hate somehow got a hold of my daddy. And everybody was like, "Well, we're going to go take you through the chemo treatments, and we've caught it in time, we feel, and blah, 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 blah." And the medical team did their part. They did a good job. But then afterwards, they said, "But what we're going to do, Mr. Gray, is we're going to remove your bladder and your prostate because it's in too close of proximity to where the cancer was. So we're just going to remove your bladder and your prostate. Well, he goes, do I have bladder cancer? Well, we don't know, but we're going to remove it anyway. This is what we do. We don't want to take no chances. So they went in there, and I went back there with him to the room when we went to Dallas for him to have his surgery, and it's called a stoma, and so it's supposed to be about an inch and a half to 2 inches on, I believe it's the right side of the navel. Well, the first uh-oh is when the nurse came in there to mark where the stoma went, she put it almost directly on the belly button. My dad said, whoa, 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 whoa. It's supposed to be an inch and a half to 2 inches. What the doctor said, he said, sir, Mr. Gray, I'm the nurse. You're the patient. I know what I'm doing. Let me do my job. My dad said, well, hey, I'm just telling you, man. The doctor said, so anyway, they went on with the surgery. When he came out, he had a bag on the front. He had a bag on the left kidney, a bag on the right kidney. And where they had placed the bag on the left kidney, they did it to where he couldn't even lay down. So for about however many months, the left kidney, the right kidney was done before he had that surgery. So for 6 months, he's never been able to lay down on a bed without pain because of the way it was, they didn't do it right. And my dad, being an innovator that he is, you know, he's like, hey, if you'll go to the medical store and get me some tube and some connections, I'll do it myself. He said, I've already figured it out. And so he showed it to the kidney doctor. The kidney doctor said, that would actually work. He said, well, then just do it. He goes, well, I can't. We don't have the order for it. He goes, I'm giving you the order for it. I'm the patient. Do this and it'll work. You didn't make the cord long enough, man. So so now here we are. We jumped ahead 6 months. He's in Dallas. He's had the bladder removal. He has had the prostate removal. And now he's got this big old bag up front. You know, it's a common surgery. And what's so crazy is before this, Sister Karen, every doctor and nurse I would talk to, oh, that's a good surgery. He's going to do good. Oh, he'll come out of that. We do that all the time. It's something that they always do. They're going to be able to do that surgery and come out of it okay. It's no big deal. We were hearing a lot of good things. But then there was times we'd say, oh, that's terrible, Brother Gray. We're just pray that you make it. We pray that you make it, brother. And my dad's a really positive person. When somebody's going through a fight, and you're about beat down and you're about to die, don't tell them that. They're feeling bad enough. Starting feeding life. That's why the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. We seem to forget that, though. We seem that we gotta express my opinion. I'm going to tell you how I feel. Not thinking what's going to happen when it comes back on you. That's why the Bible says to pray for your enemy. Because the more you're being led by what you feel, by what you see, by what you hear, by what you taste, it's going to lead you down a path that's only going to hurt you. That's why we got to pray for those that don't get that yet. So power and death is in the power of the tongue. So long story short, I know I haven't, but I just feel like I need to share this with you about my dad. So they had the surgery, they got out, and from December the 4th, he spent 2 weeks in the hospital. At this particular hospital, for some reason, they had in their mind that he didn't want food. I don't understand. I don't know about y'all, but Amber, last thing I checked, our body requires a certain amount of nutrition. Am I right or am I wrong? Okay, I don't know about you, but I may not want a steak, but hey, bring me some soup or some bread. But no, they decide to bring him some protein shakes, which is fine. But bring him more than two a day. Not one time did he say he didn't want to eat, but for some reason, they didn't bring him food. And then they allowed him to stay in his fecal matter and his urine for 2 days. And then all of a sudden, they was wondering why he was running 102 temp and talking crazy. Well, all of a sudden, they're was a urinary tract infection.
You have been listening to Pastor Charles Pierce of the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Pastor Pierce and the Revival Center would like to invite you to attend service Sundays at 2 p.m., Tuesday prayer at 10 a.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m., or contact us at 601-693-9879, or go to www.kingdompeace.org.